You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome again to Occupation Station. I'm Diane Donato and we have two special guests with us today. And we have a special announcement. Our two guests are Dr. Greg Dewey, the president of ACPHS, and Dr. Patrick Yang. We'll talk in a moment about Dr. Yang and why he's here with us. But first, Dr. Dewey, let's talk about this huge, major announcement. Great news that we are bringing to everybody today.
We are about to announce the beginning of the Center for Biopharmaceutical Education and Training. This is a very exciting development for the college, and it's something that is much needed, and it will be a great benefit to the region. The Center for Biopharmaceutical Education and Training, or CBET, as some of us call it, it's a new center that will focus on the manufacturing of biopharmaceuticals. And we can teach our pharmacists and health science students how to get into the industry, into the biopharmaceutical industry, through training at this center. It really features hands-on experience in biomanufacturing.
Dr. Patrick Yang is going to be part of the advisory council. Dr. Yang, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Diane and Dr. Dewey. It's my pleasure to join.
Dr. Yang is a former executive vice president with Genentech, also Roche and Juno. Dr. Yang is currently chairman of two biotech companies, Abgenomics and Ace Podia. So you're going to bring, of course, a wealth of experience to this. And I think as we get going in this interview, we'll talk about how important collaboration is going to be for the center. So, Dr. Dewey, why did the college choose to launch this initiative and why now?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're seeing a transformation of the pharmaceutical industry at this point. You know, traditionally, pharmaceuticals have been small molecules, often that have been derived from natural products. So aspirin is sort of one of the historic universal pain relievers. Aspirin is derived from willow bark. It is a small molecule that organic chemists can synthesize. Penicillin, antibiotic derived from mold, it is a small molecule that a chemist can synthesize. And those processes are a lot like any sort of chemical manufacturing process. Biopharmaceuticals are derived from biotechnology. They are a result of using recombinant DNA technology to basically genetically engineer microorganisms to make much larger, more complicated products. And so their manufacturing is really very much more difficult, much more complex, and really needs a wider range of expertise. So give you an example of a biopharmaceutical. One of the early ones was insulin. Human insulin was cloned for the first time in the late 70s. It was put into a bacteria where the bacteria could make it. Before that, we used pigs. We got porcine insulin, and the production of human insulin has gotten to such a point now that annually it would be the equivalent of using 14 billion pigs. Well, 14 billion pigs don't exist in the world. There's only about less than a half a billion pigs. So this has been a great advance to be able to take something your body makes, some complex molecule like insulin, and be able to manufacture it. But it's extremely complicated. We're seeing biopharmaceuticals becoming more and more a dominant feature of the pharmaceutical industry. So in some ways, there's been a sea change. With that sea change is the need to train individuals. And that's what we want to do. We want to create a center for specifically for biopharmaceutical manufacturing. And it would be the first center in a pharmacy school. Most of these centers, there are a number of them, exist across the country, and most of them come out of engineering schools. And I feel it's very important that it come out of a pharmacy school because no one really understands the importance of formulation like a pharmacist does, which is the effectiveness of a drug very, very dependent on the final formulation, whether it be a nasal spray or an injection or time-release capsule. How you deliver the drug really affects its efficacy. And it's really time for pharmacists and health scientists to contribute to this complex manufacturing process. So we feel there's a lot of value added by having it out of a pharmacy school, and so we're off and running.
Dr. Yang, it must be very exciting to be part of a project like this right from the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about what drew you to this project.
Certainly, I'm very excited to see what's happening here. My perspective is, as a member of the biopharmaceutical ecosystem, we've realized that a long time ago that it takes a community of scientists, academia, entrepreneurs, pharmacists, biologists, chemical engineers, and other engineers, as well as the community and regulatory agency to make up an effective and competitive ecosystem for this industry. So I'm very excited about the creation of this center because this enhances the ecosystem both locally as well as nationally and even internationally tremendously. I see the potential of what this center can play for this ecosystem.
We have a lot to talk about, and we're going to get to various aspects of this, but let's start out with the advisory group aspect of it. Dr. Yang is a member of the CBET advisory group. Dr. Dewey, how is that group going to support the center and its industry partners?
I always felt from the very beginning it was important to get the feedback from industry. The focus of the center is to train expertise to go directly into the biopharmaceutical industry and not to train academics. So we are not, even though we will have our PharmD students in there, our master's students, our bachelor's students, we'll have people coming in from industry and training up. But the focus is not for them to move into research, but to move into the practical aspects of manufacturing. In order to do that, we need to know from the people who are living this what their workforce needs are, what the evolving technologies are like. You have to realize this is a little bit of a moving target because not only is the science changing very rapidly and we're discovering new ways to express these genes, but the manufacturing is changing at the same time. It's a very unusual combination to have such dynamic system there. You know, a few years ago, we were building large stainless steel vats to manufacture, to brew up these yeast that were expressing these proteins. And now that's gone away. And we're moving to these disposable plastic liners. Some of them are smaller continuous flow systems. So the very manufacturing practices is changing at the same time that science keeps advancing. That means you need more education. You need more education on the floor, on the manufacturing score, and more education for people to understand exciting. It's great for an academic. It's great to see that because there's a need for education. But we have to understand it. We as academics don't really understand what's going on the floor in the manufacturing. And that's why we need the industry folks to help us. And I view this as a partnership. This isn't about us creating a program. This is about the community, the biopharmaceutical community informing us so we can best serve them.
So I guess this will be an ongoing answer to this question, Dr. Yang, but currently, right now, what would you say are some of the most important jobs that need to be filled in the biopharmaceutical manufacturing industry?
Sure, Diane. Dr. Dewey, it's been so humble. Actually, what we're creating here, to me, it is a platform on which both the practitioners in the industry and academic professionals can learn continuously and improve to meet the challenges of today as well as the challenges in the future. With the growth of the industry and the rapid changing, which Dr. Dewey had described from the small molecule days, vaccine and biologics, and then today we have additional modalities such as gene and cell therapy. So I myself have a journey from Merck, where I worked on vaccines and small molecules, and then Genentech and Roche, where my focus was mostly on biologics, on antibodies and protein products. And then after that, I had the pleasure and the fortune to work for a company up in Seattle, Juno Therapeutics, in cell therapy. And I have been also working as an industry consultant, as well as chairing two biotech companies. What I observe is that there is a tremendous shortage of the right human resources for this industry. There are at least five areas where it's most difficult today to fill the jobs in the industry, both in the United States, around the biotech hubs, as well as around the world. And these five are, number one, biologic process development, both upstream fermentation as well as downstream purification. It's very hard to find the right talent there. Number two, the analytics, both process and the product analyticals. These assay developments is in need of the right people and talent. Number three, regulatory affairs and quality control, as well as regulatory compliance. I think CBET has a good start with having the dialogue with the advisory group in this area. And then number four, the new knowledge and the methods that are needed around new modalities. I mentioned gene therapy. There's also gene editing and cell therapy. And finally, the fifth area, I think that we need lots of help in developing human resources, is we are in need of good automatic engineers and data scientists for this industry. So here you have five areas: process development, analyticals, the regulatory quality, and then the new modalities, technology, and finally the automation and data scientists.
So Dr. Yang, when you talk about those areas, how should CBET go about providing for that kind of education?
I always believe that a great leader will make a major difference. I was very impressed by the speed where the CBET has been able to recruit and onboard Dr. Reshet, Kamal Reshet, as the director. And so you begin with a great director who's got 40 years experience, and then have had the experience of working with the industry as well as developing educational programs in his previous affiliation. And I think it will begin with that leadership. How we should work together will be the focus on workforce development. I think in workforce development, this industry, the companies are experiencing rapid growth and rapid changes of technology. We need to address these educational needs, which is evolving. I think the ACPHS, the students, and the CBET will gain hands-on training specific to biomanufacturing that creates a much-needed entry into the industry. So I think that is where we begin. It won't be where we end, but workforce development is where we're going to begin the collaboration.
Yeah, let me echo that sentiment. There was a recent survey of biopharmaceutical leaders, and the question was, what is the single most important constraint or critical constraint that the industry faces? And a third of them said that it was the workforce and the lack of skilled expertise. So one of the things we want to do to address that is not just staff out the center from our faculty, but rather to bring in industry folks to be adjunct faculty and to be teaching it. So we need people that are already in the industry working and seeing the rapid changes, and bring them in to impart their knowledge as faculty members. If I were to take a faculty, a industry person, and hire them as a faculty, in 2 years, they would no longer be current, right? So we need to make sure we have people that are completely current. And that's one of the strategies, is to bring them in as adjunct faculty.
And Dr. Yang, is that also part of how you envision companies then becoming engaged with CBET?
Absolutely. I think the engagement of the advisors and engagement of the industry resources will be the critical success factor of CBET. Also, in addition, I would say that the customized short courses offered by CBET for the industry would also play a key role in the integration of academia and the industry.
So people have asked me, CBET stands for Center for Biopharmaceutical Education and Training, and someone thought they would stump me, and they said, what's the difference between education and training? And the way we're structured in CBET is education is the education of our BS students, our microbiology students, our pharmaceutical science students, our PharmD students. It's that traditional education trajectory that we do. When we refer to training, we refer to these, basically we're referring to workforce development. That's the development of people that are already in the industry who need to acquire new skills, or either through what we call open enrollment course or customized course, as Dr. Yang referred to. So that training component is best delivered in sort of short, maybe 4-day workshops that really feature a lot of hands-on practical experiences, what we want to deliver here.
And what do you see some of the key aspects being for those courses?
Well, you know, the five items that Dr. Yang described are certainly the areas that we see in the future in. But, you know, it's really important that it be a hands-on experience. We don't imagine there being that much of a didactic component to it. But when people come in for 4 days, they want to hit the ground running. They want to learn something that they can go back and apply immediately. And that's why it's important that we have adjunct faculty from it. But, you know, there are bioprocess centers across the country, and that they have different focuses. One of our focuses is the analytics that Dr. Yang referred to. We want to look at quality control and analytics because, you know, historically other centers have not had that as a focus. And so we feel that that's a workforce need that we will be focusing on.
And this is a team effort that's going to keep everything right. Extremely current.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I believe so. And but the practical hands-on experience in a real-world environment is key to our success.
What other ancillary courses will CBET develop beside the biopharmaceutical manufacturing classes?
So you have to
go ahead.
You have to understand that the pharmaceutical industry is probably one of the most regulated industry. Maybe the airline industry is as regulated, I don't know. But it is a highly regulated industry. There is the FDA requires any facility to operate it under something called CGMP, Current Good Manufacturing Practices. And so that highly regulated environment, you have to understand how to work in that environment. And it's not like it's space science or anything, but it is a very specific environment. If I have a large vat of yeast making insulin or E. coli making insulin, and it gets infected with, you know, some other bacteria, I can literally be throwing millions of dollars down the drain and disinfecting it, and the FDA will be right on top of you. So they have to understand that regulatory environment and how to operate in it. And the thing about that regulatory environment is it's an ever-changing environment. And so you always have to stay current. And so that the regulatory aspect, which is another aspect that Dr. Yang mentioned, is an important component of that as well.
And Dr. Yang, your thoughts?
Yes, I do agree that regulatory is a major aspect of our ancillary courses. I am a strong believer of leadership skills, team-based collaborative skills, and cross-functional management. And I hope that we will also offer courses in this area. I believe in addition to technical and scientific aspects of the training and education, we should develop leadership, team-based collaboration skills, and biopharma industry-specific cross-functional management courses and programs. These courses will complement the technical, scientific, analytical, and operational core aspects of the CBET offering by adding the human factors and EQ into the training curriculum. Any successful biopharma professional needs to be prepared to deal with the leadership and human factors required in the real world.
So this is going from, at one point, it was just a dream of yours, and it's becoming a reality. It's going to be, when it's all said and done, a $37 million training facility.
Right, right.
Give us a little visual about what students are going to see, at least at the start.
We are going to build this in stages, and the first stage is a more modest stage. We have a $9 million, what we're calling stage one. That will be a facility in Rensselaer, in old One University Research Place, where a number of other companies are, Regeneron, AMRI, a lot of small companies. We want to be in there rubbing shoulders with the people already in the industry. So we will start with a modest space there, 2,000 square foot space, which we will do some renovation. These bioprocess facilities, they tend to be very open. They look like laboratories, but they're very open footprints. And they have modularized instrumentation so that you don't see lab benches and hoods like in a traditional lab, but rather you have an open platform where you really have these modules that are on coasters that you can move around and connect with each other. The important aspect of it is being able to transfer a lot of materials in an aseptic way. You have to have a sterile environment to do manufacturing in, which is somewhat akin to what you see in a chip manufacturing environment, where you have to have extremely clean environments. So you'll have an open lab space with these modular units, very sort of a lot of analytics, readouts, and control systems. That is stage one. We want to move to stage two, where we have a larger facility, a 20,000 square foot facility. We had different components of that facility. You have what is called upstream, where you're doing the biological end of it. Upstream is a lot like, in a very simple way, it's a lot like brewing beer. It's not too different a technology. So you have that stage, and then you will harvest that project and go downstream, where you do the purification of the precious product there. And in between, though, and all that has to happen through sterile transfer. You can imagine a suite where you have upstream fermentation, downstream purification with centrifuges and large affinity columns to purify these proteins. And then you'll have quality control labs either embedded in that facility or not. And the quality is so very important. And the quality is two levels. One is biological quality. You have to guard very rigorously against getting anything contaminated with another bacteria or microorganism. And then you have the more protein chemistry quality, is to make sure the product has been handled gently. It's a lot like food stuff. You cannot just sort of throw it around and leave it sitting around. And so the quality at the final product is important. And so those quality labs are something that we want to really invest in, because that's a real need. And then the very end of it is something called a fill finish, which is you have this precious thing, but you have to put them in little bottles that are sterile, and they have to be labeled right. And the fill finish part is something that many centers do not do at all. And that's actually a very important stage too. And that's also a stage that the pharmacist is very sensitive to, because of the final formulation, the final form of that precious thing that you've purified in is crucial to its efficacy. And that's the finish part I see our pharmacists playing a role in. So these facilities, you have to learn how to gown up in them, because of sterility needs. They basically are, again, very open floor plans, very modular pieces of reasonably large equipment that you can move around. Sterile connections, tubing that connects one unit to the next. It's an exciting thing. But I should tell you too, but it's not fixed. It keeps changing. And so I visited, there is a facility in Ireland called NIBRT, the National Institute for Bioprocess Research and Training. The NIBRT facility is viewed as one of the best in the world. And they had the steel tanks that they built, and now they're not even using them because they've gone to these single-use systems with plastic liners. So that's a reason for having the open system, is because the chances are tomorrow you're going to be doing something different. And you need an open platform so that to adapt for that. So it's very exciting.
And Dr. Yang, I'm sure you're going to play a critical role in helping advise on growing.
Absolutely. I sometimes use the term perfect storm, quote unquote, to describe the next 5 years of biopharma industry. A perfect storm, as you may know, is a meteorological phenomenon where a particular violent storm is created from a rare combination of weather factors. I use it, however, in a positive manner to remind all of us that an extremely strong force is being formed in the biopharma industry, where the progress of pharmaceutical sciences, biology, cell gene therapy, genomics, process analyticals, computing, automation, high-speed internet and smartphone connection, big data, data sciences, and artificial intelligence, all these critical components have reached a point where the energy and the speed of the biopharma R&D will reach a state that we have never seen before. This force can be both constructive and disruptive. You will be a great winner if you have the mastery of the perfect storm and can ride on the top of it to excel into the next generation of biopharma. I envision that CBET in five to 10 years' time will be a key player in the ecosystem of the next biotech perfect storm. I think CBET will be a perfect storm rider.
And so this is going to be an opportunity that's available to both traditional and to working professionals to become a part of the center.
That's right. That's what we want, to integrate both of them. We will use the content in a traditional format for, like I said, for our bachelor's and master's students, our pharmacy students. We will use a lot of that content to build into the normal semester type format, but then we will also do the short courses for the people in the workforce. And that is a unique aspect of it, the integration of a traditional education with workforce development. You don't see those two coming together that often. It will give our students an incredible edge. You know, our students, our pharmacy students, have gone into the pharmaceutical industry successful with very little help from us. I mean, I visit alumni across the country, and they're in all aspects of the pharmaceutical industry. We have CEOs, we have people in manufacturing, people in regulatory, people in medical affairs, you know, people in business development. And they got there because of the versatility of pharmacy degree. But in a way, it was a little bit of serendipity. Now we're saying, okay, we did pretty well without trying. Let's be intentional about this. Let's create this pathway for them to go. I think they can have a great impact in the workforce.
It's really exciting news. The Center for Biopharmaceutical Education and Training, part of the Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences experience now, as you're expanding, that's really really exciting. Any closing thoughts?
I like riding out the perfect storm. I thought that analogy was super.
Yes, I look forward to working with CBAT and creating a pipeline of talent that will succeed more rapidly and more certainly in the industry. So this is really terrific. Thank you so much.
Dr. Greg Dewey, Dr. Patrick Yang, thank you so much, both of you, for being with us on Occupation Station.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
For more information or to schedule a tour, visit acphs.edu. You can tune into all of our informative stories at acphs.edu/podcast. Each podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeart, and Spotify, giving you the opportunity to listen from a mobile device. Mark Occupation Station as a favorite, and you'll receive push notifications as soon as we publish something new. Occupation Station is also a proud member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, the largest podcast content directory dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.